Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Radio Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, TotalTutor. And Pinterest, Neil Haley. And it's been a logistics nightmare. And always these things occur. I tried to do a live event in Spain and dealt with it, but I never thought in my regular studios I'd have a logistics nightmare. But it seems like one of those things. I guess we're winding down in May. But I'm so excited to welcome another guest from Private Wives, from Nashville Wives. And Private Lives and Nashville Wives, because what's so cool is I had such a great conversation with Gary Chapman. Gary and I talked before off air, and we even mentioned on Twitter the whole fact of the show Resurrection. And I never got feedback from him on that. And we talked about social media. We talked about the show and how he had to deal with, you know, being on a reality show. But I want to hear what their take is. So I first want to welcome the program Anna Fernandez from Private Lives of Nashville Wives TNT show. How are you?
I am absolutely wonderful. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to you.
Yeah, and off air, you have a surprise for our listeners, because we were thinking Betty was going to be on, but some logistic issues. But just Anna shows, again, her ability to monitor and adjust. Who do you have on the line with us?
I have my wonderful, whom I call Chi-Chi, Kathy Chapman. Hi.
Hey, Cassie. So I really had a blast talking to your husband. So I'm so glad now I get to talk to the other half and go the story. So what I'm going to do, Anna, is I'm going to go right to, because again, this is like part two, and I might air the whole thing this summer, having both of so we have both Chapmans on back-to-back interviews. But now Gary talked about how he had reluctance about doing the show. It just didn't seem like it was his fit. So Cassie, tell me what your thought when they first approached you about the show.
I said no 3 times. I was just like, I can't do that to my family, because all I've ever seen were the housewife shows or heard of the housewife shows. And, I was scared. And then the fourth person sat me down and we talked about it. And I'm sure Gary told you this, but we prayed about it. And if God wanted us to use this as a platform, then he would open the doors. And sure enough, here we are.
And so the story for you, Anna, is the same type of thing. Were you jumping at this opportunity, or were you still a little concerned when you first heard about it?
The way it went down for me is they held an audition here in Nashville. And so my crazy twin calls me up and says, Anna, Betty loves reality television. I don't watch live television. I watch movies and series like True Blood or The Vikings. I don't watch any reality TV. So I get the phone call from Betty. She's like, they're holding auditions. They're doing a casting call for Nashville Housewives. That's even how it was called initially. And I'm like, what do you want from me, Betty? I'm not even married. She goes, just please come do it with me. Please just come audition with me. So I go and audition with Betty. And lo and behold, we're absolutely hysterical on camera together. We argued during the casting, during the little interview. We had everybody in stitches, and a year later, we're on the show.
And that's the stories that we deal with in so many ways. And you know what's very funny, Cassie, is what shocked me was the whole fact when I was talking to Gary. I thought of this, you know, when you're thinking about a Nashville, you think of a different lifestyle than specifically, well, think of Married to Medicine. Think of all these shows that I've interviewed the reality stars and how it's just absolutely a train wreck at times, for sure. And when I was talking to Gary, I was hearing, you know, hey, this is something a little different. You know, we're really showing a different lifestyle in Nashville. Cassie, how did you kind of try to even present that when you know the producers want it to blow up into another Housewives in certain ways?
Just because of, you know, Evolution, they do Housewives of Beverly Hills and OC, you know, of course they're going to use that same sort of formula for ours as well, but it's on TNT, and TNT wanted to bring kind of a different, more in-depth look into people's lives, and I think our show really did present that well.
And
throughout the whole thing, like, they never asked us to create drama. They didn't say, okay, look, you know, well, these two aren't getting along, so let's put these two together in a room and turn up the heat in there and get them going. It was never like that. They let us do, tell our true stories, and they were rolling the dice. They didn't want to do something that is as catty as some of those other shows. They wanted to show that women can have conflicts, but then the conflict resolution can be done in a very mature way instead of how you see it on those other shows where there's people throwing glasses and tables being turned over, and yes. It wasn't like that.
And now, did we feel like doing that at times? Absolutely, but we are Southern women.
I know about the South. Another thing, I don't know if Gary told you, I was a former professional wrestler, so I didn't wrestle in Nashville, but I definitely was a mainstay in Memphis and Arkansas and different places like that. So I know exactly.
Wow.
I know Southern women. Trust me. Okay, and we're not gonna add any more to that whole situation. But I know the drama that could happen, and we all know some of the Atlanta shows. There's some real drama. So we're talking South as well. So you guys really saw that we got to keep this together. We are bringing faith into this in a way. Cassie, you talked about praying about this. Gary talked about praying about this. That's what makes your show different, and I'm sure that's what attracts people to watching the show then, right?
I think it hits middle America more, we can't stop who we are. We can't stop being who we are, and that's a huge part of our life. And, and that's the whole thing when we were auditioning. I was like, well, that we are very outspoken Christians, so if that's going to be a problem in the secular world, if I could spit that out, then you might need to think of a different couple. And I don't know. I thought it turned out really well.
No.
It did. I was scared because some of the episodes, they lacked a little bit of the oomph, like, they were slow in getting the action going and very methodical. By the end of the series, it really, really built up. People had fallen in love with the show. But at first, I'm watching it and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is
right.
kind of slow. But it was good for our city. We didn't want to embarrass our city and and that's how we were able to get their support by the end of the series.
Now, so So Anna, again, the title of this, how did you end up in the show, especially when there's a lot of couples in this show? How did this happen for you in this process? I know they liked you and your sister, but what was your storyline about? For our listeners out there who have not gotten to check out the show, and I think if I'm correct, the show's almost winding down, that yet they'll have, again, in the summer, they'll repeat a lot of the episodes, and then all over the world, which is another thing that's great, is we have an international audience, so once it hits international syndication as well, people will get updated on what's going on. So tell us how your storyline was brought about. I know the Chapmans a lot, thanks to Gary telling me, and some of what, again, Cassie's told me.
Well, obviously, I said earlier I'm single, and I'm the mother of two children, and I built a business that I started in 2004. And I think that my storyline was, you don't have to hitch your wagon to a man to have it all. I've been able to accomplish a lot in my life and seize the moment and enjoy life like nobody else I know. And I think that's what they liked about me. That was the different thing that I brought to it. And also being identical twin. My sister's married to a very famous musician, Raul Mala from the Mavericks, and we're very, very close. So it seems like married to two girls. It's, we're sister brides as well as twins. It's crazy.
What do you call you, Velociraptors?
Yeah. He calls us the Velociraptors.
Interesting. And what did Betty's husband think about it, especially being a celebrity, being part of the show? We all know Gary's a musician. What was his thought process, especially when Betty said, hey, we're going to go audition for this?
Nobody knows this, but I think he must have enjoyed it more than any of the other men. He would dance around the house. He'd be like, he's great on camera, and he's really smart and funny, and he really enjoyed it. It was a different way for him to put out his art. He's an artist through and through, and it was cool. He was able to be on and play with his sons, and he was able to, show his Cuban culture, and he loved it. he knows that we're extroverted. He knows that anything goes with us. He just rolled with it and let us be us and supported us. He was great. He was great. He loved it. Unfortunately, he wasn't in too many of the episodes because he was touring his new album. The Maddox are, you know, just got back together and they were doing a reunion tour. So they were on the road a lot. But it was really cool to see him play with Gary and Brian in the opening episode, in episode number one. They're at Buckets and they're all playing, and that was one of the coolest things, in my opinion, about the show. Don't you agree, Cassie? That was really cool.
I loved it. So, I loved how they all put their sunglasses on, like, well, too.
Now, Cassie, from when the show aired, how did your life change in a little bit? I mean, especially, you know, Gary still being a musician, but how did it change for you in the everyday lives in Nashville once it really became a very good show that people started to watch and you had no idea once it would air on TNT? How did your life change?
You know, I was stuck in my bubble in this house for 4 or 5 years, and being around 6 incredibly intelligent women that are extroverted, just it made me so much more confident of who I am. I feel like I just feel like it really helped me grow in many, many ways. As far as how I've grown since the show, the whole adoption thing, that you can't even imagine how many emails I have received from either birth mothers or from adoptive families, just asking questions, and it's just become a really great community. That has blown me away, and I love it.
That's fantastic, and so that was one of your greatest moments. But also, what about being recognized more than you were before? That was also different.
I was trying to avoid that question.
Oh, you're trying to avoid it. So you don't understand. I'm from the person. Hey, I'll just keep in a conversation. I'll make sure I keep pressing something for our listeners out there to get that.
I would spend it, man. No, honestly, it really didn't start happening until almost the season was over. And the first time we were in the airport picking up our new puppy, and this lady jumps out of nowhere, and she's like, I love your show. And then all of a sudden, all these people just started coming over, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is so bizarre. Is it because of the puppy or really because of the show? But that was the first time, and then we were in Key West for the BMI Songwriters Festival. And it's like Nashville descends on Key West. I couldn't believe how many people loved and watched the show religiously.
That's great.
And they were just like, thank you for showing our city in a great light, and we really are hoping for a season 2.
Well, we'll keep pushing for a season 2, especially on Twitter, especially when we air this, and then when they re-air all the episodes again. We're going to definitely have a theme of bringing you guys back, and somehow I am connecting different publicists by Cassie being this great surprise, and Anna, you did it. You did it. But again, I think did you know when you were scheduled to interview me that I interviewed Gary already? Did you have that idea? That's kind of the funny thing about Cassie, and that's what I was saying. Because first of all, I contacted your publicist, Anna, and guess what happened? They basically, I had to keep shooting emails, so I said, hey, I interviewed Gary, and Gary loved me. And then there you go, you got Mac on my show. So you got to be persistent in so many ways. So let's talk about your projects. I have to catch up with the show, and I know Netflix will be the way I definitely, hopefully, get the opportunity to catch up with the show so that I can come back through this process. My wife's into reality TV, trust me, and we talked about the other types of reality TV. I have all the superstars in reality television, but I'm so glad for your success, especially if you're putting out a good product compared to a lot of the others that, you know what, you say, yeah, I'm on this show, but you don't want to say anything more. So, Anna, what are you promoting right now?
I am promoting being single, having fun every second that I take a breath. That's what I promote. Enjoying life.
So there's no, you don't have any projects you're currently promoting or anything on your
end? I'm doing a lot of charity work, and it's been one of the most amazing things, is to, as the vehicle to charity events that I was able to get through the show. And Cassie and I, we are creating our own YouTube channel, and it's just going to be all these quirky, funny. We have a lot of fun together. We're tomboys, and so we're going to start putting our own little, you know, 3-minute little videos out for people to enjoy, because so many of the fans, they love it. They want to see more, and we're not going to wait till filming starts. We just want to have more of a personal relationship with them. And I'm a big hula hooper. I started making them now. I've been giving them away to people that won them during our live Twitter chats.
She made one for Eva Rose's first birthday.
I liked it. It was a really cute one. It's itty-bitty, and it rattles. We put beans in it. It completely changed my body, and I want to help change people, their approach to health and fitness. You know, some people don't want to go to a gym or can't afford to go to a gym, and it's really affordable to cheap. It's really, really cheap and a lot of fun to do. I do it with my daughter. It keeps us in shape. And, we're just going to start promoting that and selling them. And I mean, I have my own business already. I work in construction. I never talked about it on the show. I left my children and my business out because I didn't know how they were going to edit it. And for season two, I'll talk more about that and show people that there's more to Anna than just this fun, vivacious, outgoing firecracker.
Okay, Cassie, what are you promoting with that's not with Anna? What stuff do you have?
That's not with Anna.
Well, this is kind of the strangest interview that I was prepared for Anna and Betty, and I got Cassie and Anna. So that's funny. Yeah.
She's now the triplet. She's like now part of our family.
I'm the mini-me. So I've got two things that I'm getting ready to start. I'm putting together a nonprofit. It's called 185 from Matthew 18:5, and it's going to be an organization that helps adoptive families find birth mothers and vice versa. Basically, I will have all the state laws, adoption laws. We are huge advocates for private adoption. I know it sounds a little weird, but we did a private open adoption. So we have a very good relationship with the birth mother, and she gets to see Eva Rose whenever. That time allows for her to come and see the baby. And I love her. She's like my sister. And I feel like we had such a great situation doing a private adoption that I think birth mothers, especially young ones, don't know that that's an option.
Right.
That they need to go through an agency. And I'm sure there's great agencies out there, but a lot of people spend 50, 60, 70, even 100 grand on adoption, and they're on a list for 3 or 4 years.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they never get matched. So I just think this is a really good way of helping people find each other. And then I am writing a book with my birth mother.
Oh, wow.
On the whole process. Yes. So those are the two things that we are focusing on right now.
So when is the book out? It's not out yet. So it's another opportunity to come on, right, Cassie? Yes, for sure.
Yes. I will come back and tell you all about it.
Okay, so now, so where can we find information on both of you? Awesome to have the opportunity to talk to you. I have to catch up with the show, and then we'll have to have Anna and Betty back on, and I want to get Gary and Cassie on together, too. I think that would be a fun interview as well, especially. I'm going to have, first of all, where can we find information on you?
Okay, you can go to annaandbetty.com, and it's Anna with one N. And we're also on Facebook. We're also on Twitter. I'm going to find you on Twitter now so we can be Twitter amigos.
All right.
My Twitter handle is @TheAnnaFernandez, again, one N. And Betty is @BettyMalo.
Fantastic. And then
we'll send you all of our info because I'm sure you've got a site. You can put it up on there. And when we post some of our little videos that we're doing, we'll send them to you so you can watch them and tell us what you think.
Absolutely. Any way I can with social media. I consider myself, I told Gary this, Cassie, I said that I'm a Twitter master. And he said he's not. And so, you know, I don't have as many followers as some of you guys, but but I have figured out Twitter and have figured out how to have success. It doesn't matter how many followers you have. It's how much interaction you have. It's all about interaction.
Right. It's amazing. You know, social media is actually one of the biggest assets that we came to develop throughout the show, throughout the viewing of the show, to help us get fans.
That is true.
It really, really turned things around. The show was on late, and we took it upon ourselves to do our own promoting. And we would do it with these live tweet chats. And the way that you can connect to someone one-on-one through social media, it's really a beautiful thing.
It is, truly. It's amazing how quickly you can develop yourself, because I do do social media campaigns for people as well. Okay, so Cassie, where can we find information on you as well? And then, was he disappointed, Gary, with the finish of Resurrection? I'm still torn, for sure. But I
don't know that he has seen it.
He watched the show. He told me that. He was hooked by it.
No. I know. I just don't know that he watched the end.
Oh, he didn't watch the end. He might have gave up after three episodes then, just like I told him he'd find it.
No.
But, Cassie, where can we find
info? The show, trust me.
Oh, okay. Where can we find info, Cassie?
You can find me on Twitter. It's Cassie Chapman. And then you can also find me on Facebook. I think it's Cassie Chapman, Nashville Wives. And then I have my photography page, and it's studioreverie.com.
Well, you guys are fantastic. I hope you had fun.
So are you. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely, and I'm going to make sure Gary gets the link. I tell you, when I interviewed Gary, I had an all-star lineup, but I'm so glad I waited for you guys, because if Anna would have figured out the right time, Cassie would not have been on with me. So that worked out really well for everyone, and I got to spend more time with you guys, but we'll definitely connect, and thank you again, Cassie, and thank you, Anna, and everyone needs to check out the show, and I'm sure it'll be re-airing in the summer again, right? Is that when they usually look to do reruns? Is that what you're hearing, guys?
Yeah, that's what we're hearing. They're going to be doing this on weekends, and, you know, I don't know if you're going to be in Nashville during CMA Fest, but we're going to be co-hosting on a couple of stages, and we have a booth at the Hard Rock where we'll be able to meet people and talk to them and do autographs and just catch up, and so fun. It'll be a lot of fun.
A lot of exciting things. Well, thanks again for calling, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Education Celebrity Show and the Total Education Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, TotalTutor, Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, TotalTutor. And I'm so excited to welcome the program, reality star and musician and much, much more from the show Private Lives of Nashville Wives, Gary Chapman. Gary, thanks for calling and taking the time to come on the show.
Oh, thanks, man. It's my pleasure.
Now, Gary, tell me specifically enough, when you were asked to do a reality television show, what were your thoughts? Because honestly, you sound like, just like me, we're talking about our favorite TV shows. We're talking about different things. And I know a lot of people in reality TV, but what was your response when you first were asked to do this?
First response was absolutely not. Not a chance. No way. Just not going to do it. And we said that, my wife and I said that, 3 or 4 times, I forget. And it finally, you know, they broke us down. B, we came to actually know the people that were involved in the production by saying no that many times. And they, you know, they actually seemed genuine. And we basically just prayed about it and said, okay, this is one of those moments. Don't really know if it's a good idea or a bad idea. If it's a bad idea, shut it down, God. And if it's not, then we'll walk on. And we did, and it was fun. And turns out they were our instincts were correct. They're actually great people.
And do you think it's because we're talking about a great place like Nashville, and the fact that, you know, there's a lot of faith in Nashville? We think of all these other reality shows, Gary, as they're just so superficial. That really, and this is what goes back to Nashville in general, that you guys aren't like Hollywood. You're not like New York. You're down home, and country music singers and Nashville in general are approachable people. And do you think that's one reason why of the show not being like other reality shows?
Yeah, no question about it. The culture here is completely different. You know, I mean, if you see some huge country star in a restaurant, you'll notice them sitting by themselves and you know, unmolested, basically. There may be, you know, an over-anxious tourist every now and then that'll come up and ask for an autograph, but it's not any different than anywhere else they might go. In fact, yeah, I guess it would be different. It'll be safer because the local people here, we just let it go. We don't care. You know, if I see Keith Urban and Nicole out, I'll go say hello, but I'll do it because he's my friend. I'm not going to do it because he's Keith Urban, you know. It's people really honor your space here. And it's just a really good town. It is full of good people. And it doesn't take long being here to figure that out.
And, Gary, you think that the producers of this reality show really don't want the smut that's going on in some of the other areas in general? You think that that's the other reason why you enjoyed the experience?
You know, I think they probably expected they would be able to get more craziness out of us than they did. I don't know. I don't really know what their expectations were. But, you know, anytime you get six women together, you're going to get drama. But, they've had to edit dramatically edit dramatically to take the values and our faith out of it. It's just impossible to omit.
So, telling about the drama, did you just try to stay out of it, Gary, when it happened?
You know, the cool thing about it, my wife is just a West Virginia farm girl and is absolutely Switzerland when it comes to this stuff. She's the one that rolls her eyes and says, I can't believe y'all are being so stupid. You know, this is not junior high. And she's the peacemaker. She's the middle. And because of that, it's just laughable to me. We both just laugh at it. It's entertaining.
We're talking to musician Gary Chapman from Private Lives of Nashville Wives, and it's very interesting, Gary, listening to you about, I was talking about the experiences, but I had a feeling there had to have been drama or the show wouldn't have been picked up, because we all know reality TV. It's very interesting. I was talking to somebody today about possibly trying to get myself a reality show. I was a former professional wrestler who is a tutor and consultant and does the radio thing and has five kids, and I thought maybe this might be a good storyline, so I'm going to try to do a sizzle. So there had to be some drama involved. But Gary, how did you keep yourself out of the drama? How did you keep yourself from not, again, dealing with other husbands or other musicians in this whole deal, and made sure that you didn't put yourself on TMZ and stuff like that?
Well, you know, honestly, that's not that difficult, because I really don't live that way, and I've known most of the husbands in particular. I've known for, you know, a lot of years, and we're friends. So, you know, we just don't go there. It's just not the way we live. It's not what we do.
What would people that watch the show, what would they be most surprised about, Gary?
I think people would be most surprised that it's not, you know, it's not a lot of backbiting. There's conflict, but it's personality driven. It's relationship driven. There's not a lot of vitriol and real attack, you know, real hatred that you see in some of the other shows. It's just not there.
And that's the key. You can't have that, especially when you're talking about the network you're on, and especially about Nashville. You have to represent Nashville, right, Gary? And I think that's fantastic. You guys are doing that, because you see Atlanta and how Atlanta's being torn up with such smut and different reality shows, and you think the South, I'm representing Nashville, I'm going to represent it right. And it sounds like you're definitely doing that, Gary. How so far has been the response to the show since it's aired? What has that kind of changed your life in different ways, specifically with walking around the Nashville area and different things, people talking about the show?
Well, honestly, you know, it's like I mentioned earlier, people are generally pretty respectful of anybody that might happen to be a temporary celebrity, because let's face it, it ebbs and flows. And, you know, speaking of that, I've been in and out of the spotlight for my whole life. You know, I've lived a whole bunch of it in front of cameras, and it doesn't really affect me, honestly. I'm a little bit immune to it. I like people. That helps a lot too. So when somebody comes up to me and has something to say, they're generally supportive, and I'm very appreciative. And if they want to attack me, you know, I'm just going to make short work of that. I'm just going to vanish most of the time.
You got to vanish for sure, and in so many ways. And what's your hope? Do you think there'll be a second season the way things are going? Do you think you'll have a second season?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think any of us had any expectations of this being a long process. I genuinely do not know. I'm sure we'll find out within the next couple of months. But either way, you know, life goes on. So,
okay,
we'll have fun with it if it happens. If it doesn't, we'll blaze on. It'll be fine.
And what's really cool, Gary, is again with the show coming on, then you have your latest album. So now let's hear about the truth and hear about some of these special appearances that you have on your album.
Yeah, you know, that was the two main storylines that they followed for Taffy and I were, you know, we adopted a baby girl, and it was that process, and then me, you know, making this music project. You know, I love to collaborate. I love to work with people, and I've been in town long enough that, you know, it's a fun process. It's not hard. Alison Krauss and I have done a few songs together over the years, and I heard this song called "If God Had a Front Porch." And honestly, when I heard the end of the demo fade to silence, I spoke her name out loud. No kidding, because it was just perfect. It was like, oh my gosh, she has to sing that. And she heard it and said, "Yeah, you're right, I do." And I've got another song called "The Rough Crowd." It basically addresses the fact that, you know, while Jesus was here on this planet, he spent an inordinate amount of time with undesirables and with people that you know, mainstream religious society would have thought unworthy to be hanging with the Son of God. Then honestly, I think that's what he wants us to do. I think he so desires for us to get out there and mix it up and not, you know, I've got nothing against church. I love my church, but I think if you spend the majority of your time insulated by that group of people, the odds of you really doing his work go down significantly. So I found a couple of friends just going through my head. It was like, well, who would be right for this and who would be right for that? And Tanya Tucker agreed to sing the verse about the woman at the well that was about to get, you know, stoned because she was a woman of ill repute. Well, if anybody knows that life, you know, in varying degrees, it's Tanya. Turns out these days she's a very, very committed, you know, sold out, awesome believer. Same thing with John Rich. You know, the verse that he sings, you know, I've cussed, I've raised hell, I've drank, but I've stumbled, but he was with me all the way. That's John. His dad's a hellfire and brimstone preacher, and John is never ever going to omit God from his life. John is an absolute believer. He's just, you know, the persona that he has is that of being a crazy wild party guy. So, you know, that's what it is. But it that verse was perfect for him. Then I got my daughter to sing a song with me, and that was a really great experience. She has a cool voice. And then Cassie sang with me on a song called "About a Baby," which was just, you know, again, it was a given. You know, here we've got this stunning redheaded, blue-eyed baby girl in our house, and I'm singing a song called "About a Baby," and she's not on it. That would be stupid.
Yeah.
So, you know, all the collaborations are there for a reason.
Well, I've had John on my show, and he's a stand-up guy, really good guy,
yeah.
Talking about The Apprentice and what he's doing with St. Jude. So he's a tremendous guy for sure. So,
yeah.
Gary, where can we purchase your album and also learn more about you and about Private Lives of Nashville Wives?
You know, you can go to GaryChapmanMusic.com. That's the easiest process. And, you know, obviously you can click over to the store and get yourself the music, download or CD, whatever you want. I have a, you know, Facebook page, Gary Chapman, singer-songwriter. I'm at G Chappie on Twitter. I like to do that. I'm kind of an idiot in that regard. My wife has the best private lives Facebook page, Cassie Chapman, Private Lives, National Wives, I think is how it's listed. And she's just constantly putting up, you know, a lot of stuff that is not on the air, kind of the inside scoop on things.
Perfect. I tell you, Gary, you're a great guy. Let's find out what's going on with Private Lives, and I'm going to try to make sure I can watch the show. And then where can we watch the show? That's the other thing for our listeners out there. What time is it on every week?
Yeah, it's on at it's on TNT at 10 Central Time on Mondays.
Okay.
And it's, I think they re-air it a few times, but honestly, I don't know what it is.
Well, I'm sure they can. We can Google it. We can find their Twitter as well. But Gary, it was great talking to you. Best of luck with the album and the experience. You got to get on Twitter, man. If you need to talk to me, I am a Twitter master. And
who are you on Twitter? I got to find you.
At Total Tutor, and you'll see the different celebs I interact with and different things. And hopefully, you'll follow me. And
I'll do it as soon as we hang up.
All right. Well, it's good talking to you, Gary. Good talking to you, and best of luck with the show and your album.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right, Terry. You're listening to Total Education Celebrity Show on the Total Education Network, and we'll be back in just a moment. We're back to the Total Celebrity Show on the Total Radio Network. Again, TotalTutor.net for more information. Twitter, Total Tutor. Neil S. Haley. Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley. Instagram, Total Tutor. And Pinterest, Neil Haley. And I am so excited about this guest. And it was so interesting to research her background and then know that she's her recording career is just taking off. And I think we're going to see a huge star on our hands. So I'm so excited to welcome the program Billboard recording artist Consuelo Vanderbilt Kosten. Consuelo,
yay!
How are you?
I just have to tell you, I'm so impressed by the way in which you make your introduction. I mean, that was fast to say. I would say that you've been doing this for a few times,
absolutely. No, but I then we just have a conversation back and forth. It's that easy. I mean, I interview about 17 people a week, Consuelo.
Oh,
so yeah,
God.
So and I'm talking to different celebrities and all different types of backgrounds. So it just all depends, and I love going back and forth and different things. And what I thought was so cool about you, first of all, which kind of makes you a celebrity, is again the family history. So right off the bat, just that makes you a name in yourself. So that's how I guess you grew up and started to think about things before you made a name for yourself, is your family history. So can you describe?
That's a really brilliant question, actually. You know, the amazing thing about, and I love my grandmother for this, was you just kind of growing up and understanding what the family name meant was always very quiet. So it was something that you knew, you just never talked about, and it was never discussed. It was almost better to always be private and not public. And so that was kind of how I had always been raised and watched and seen how my great-grandmother and my grandmother and my mother would really represent that name. And I found that, especially, you know, now that I'm living in New York, I really find that such a beautiful quality that it just kind of was embedded in them, right? But they didn't feel the need to ever having to exploit that. So,
yeah.
You know.
Absolutely. So again, Cornelius Vanderbilt. And so for people that don't really know him well, can you describe him a bit to us for history purposes?
This I love more than anything. He asked his mother for $100 and he became the richest man in America.
Oh.
And he literally pretty much built New York and built the railroads. And he was an absolute pioneer and an entrepreneur and a brilliant man, and seeing that statue, I'm like, I'm not worthy. So, he's an absolutely fascinating, phenomenal, you know, as I say, entrepreneur.
Definitely. And from that process, you saw yourself, you know what, if I'm going to have this name, I'm going to make sure that I take it to the next level. And that's what brought your passion on when it comes to music. I mean, I'm sure you love music, but a lot of people do things for a reason. They want to be successful. They see stardom, but they ultimately see more than stardom. They see that they can make a difference in people's lives. So that's how we're going to kind of go around this. But first of all, if you weren't a great musician, then guess what? You wouldn't be able to transform people's lives. So you see a lot of Cornelius could be you in ways through your music. Am I correct? And building that platform.
That's an incredible way to describe it. I would say, from my words, I'm in awe. I think that I feel very grateful that I was raised by my stepfather, who's a self-made man, and he showed me he gave me work ethic, you know, and made me very proud of who he is and, as I said, work ethic and just understanding what that looked like. And he was, you know, he made everything himself, and Cornelius did the same. So I think that just as far as mentors and people to look up to, yes, absolutely. I was a gymnast. I started when I was 2, and I got into a squad when we moved to England when I was 6. And basically, I really loved looking up at the bleachers to see who was watching. Far more than actually doing the gymnastics. Yeah. That's a really dangerous thing to do when you're on the beam, let me tell you.
Yes.
And at that point, and I was also the fattest gymnast on the squad, which was also a bit of an issue, even though I was like a miniature Mike Tyson. But we won't go there. But I really loved it, and it gave me incredible discipline from a very young age. At 11, my parents made a decision that I should stop gymnastics. And I tried out for the school choir, and I didn't get in. And she said, look, if you really fight and you really try, you know, try back in 6 months and see what happens. And I did. And 6 months later, I had the loudest voice in the choir and haven't stopped singing since.
And that's where you heard your true voice then, right? For sure.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's such a great story. And then from there, once you knew you're in the choir, because my daughter, my oldest daughter, is really into the singing. I really want to get her voice lessons because she's really able to, at kindergarten was singing in the talent shows and different things. And she shows that ability at times. But once you saw that you have that gift, you kept working at it and kept working harder and harder to become a better singer, right?
Yeah, I did. And it was interesting because, you know, I've lost my voice a few times, and that's been really devastating. And I definitely wouldn't be a singer if I wasn't a writer. That's really, really important to me.
Interesting. You want your voice to come out through your work from your true thought process through writing, and then
It's my chapters. It's my personal diary. It's my kind of it's the windows into me. So I write from that place, and it's really important, especially when I perform in the way that I connect with the audience. I feel so much more just personal and the love of the audience, like just being able to sing to them, like, you know, here I am. So there's a great vulnerability to that, I guess, too.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And you know what's really interesting, and you're talking about your success and your breakout type of thing, is basically you've had extreme success in the European territories. Can you tell us about that and now how it's definitely coming to the States as well, the success?
You know, I'm just beyond grateful. Germany has been a huge, huge, huge market for me. And I actually performed on DDF, which is one of the greatest morning shows, and everyone knew the words to the song, and people had my pictures from the last 8 years, and just fans that I had no idea. And that's just such a wonderful thing because, you know, I think with the age of social media and not really having any idea to what extent you can actually reach people, has been extraordinary. So my last single did extremely well. Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, number 2 in Poland, went to number 11 in the UK, which is where I actually first started. And, I'm just absolutely blown away and so grateful. And so this last single in the US went to number 15, and I've had 2 really big dance hits here. So it's moving, and I'm just grateful that people are wanting to hear it and are feeling excited by it, and I love it.
I can tell for sure. And so having that success, and where do you see yourself? Where do you see it going in music wise?
You know, I so my next single is coming out June 26th. It's called Body Needs, and it's a very hot, fun summer track, which you have the exclusive listen. I can't wait for you to play it.
Exactly, for our listeners.
And that's
so awesome, yeah. For sure.
And I've been working really hard at my album, which is actually coming out mid-August to September. And I've worked from everyone from Peter Collins, who did all of Bon Jovi and Jules Records. He's this wonderful little Englishman. He's won many Grammys, and he's absolutely brilliant. To Anthony Little, who did all of Backstreet Boys and worked with Tina Turner. And just there's a real sense of... what I believe, I think what Madonna did in the 90s was she really understood how to take great pop songs to make amazing stories, brilliant melodies.
Exactly.
Fantastic beats, and it's just timeless, like a prayer, you know, my
yes.
God, what a phenomenal song. And I don't believe that there has been an album like that, and that's what I've tried to do, where each song actually represents... It's not just about the album. Like, the album doesn't have a whole theme. It's not like, this is my breakup album. It's actually that I've taken really the time to make sure that every song is its own story, is my chapter of my life.
We're talking to Billboard recording artist Cornelius Vanderbilt Coston, and we're having an unbelievable conversation. And I'm if you end up having the success of Madonna, I will be like, you better talk to me in 3 years.
I would die and go to heaven and kiss your feet for the rest of my life. And never would I compare myself. I'm just saying that was
I know.
That's my peak goal. Yeah.
Or any of the top ones. I mean, and then I'm going to say, okay, now, Consuelo, are you going to still talk to me?
Wait, sweetie, you actually called me Cornelius. I love that. That was like a kind of Freudian slip.
Yeah. And then I said, Consuelo.
Because
I said, Consuelo. I called you Cornelius. Well, maybe I've seen that success. I didn't even miss
you
that.
You think I have a man name, don't you? It's all right. God, how sad. Well, no. It's okay. People always do this. Always.
Okay.
They're like, are you sure it's not A? And I'm like, no, I swear that's what my parents told me.
So let's go from this, when you're having your great success and you'll never answer my phone calls again. Ever again. Tell us about your new upcoming jewelry collaboration. We want to hear about that too.
So, you know, I love more than anything the fact that moving to New York, I found my family's history it's like almost like I feel like I'm reading a textbook being here, but I'm actually seeing it and living it and breathing it, which is so fantastic. And my great-grandmother passed away, you'll love this, at 107. I was named after her, and she died on my birthday.
Oh, wow.
Ba-ba-bum.
So that's wow, yeah.
And I inherited her ring.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which is the most spectacular pearl and diamond ring bounded together, and it's from the 1800s, and it's absolutely spectacular, and it's one of a kind. And so this entire collection is an homage to her. And so it's kind of the various pearl and diamond pieces that she may have worn it's really spectacular.
So
we're launching that at the end of June, actually, at Grand Central Station.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, what's really interesting, Consuelo, is that you're not just music. You're more than that. And that's fantastic. And so you're seeing specifically a brand for sure with you.
I would say Rebel Heiress is absolutely I want to build my brand 100%.
Okay, so now also you're talking about your mother's passing during this interview. Tell us about the philanthropy you're doing, particularly in light of that.
You know, my sister and I have always laughed about this because each one of us kind of took her passing in a very different way. But we all came together on this incredible charity called the Ovarian Cancer Coalition of Greater California. And this amazing woman, Gail McKenna, who is a 32-year survivor, started this foundation. And she was such a a pioneer of change and trying to find ways to get the message out there, because sadly ovarian cancer is the silent killer. Yes. Many women have absolutely no idea what the effects are, what the symptoms are, and we're kind of very blind to it. So, you know, a lot more funding has gone into breast cancer than it has to ovarian. And so, for instance, my mom was a beautiful photographer, and we held two exhibitions, and all the proceeds went to the foundation. I actually wrote a song for the Ovarian Cancer Coalition that I ended up, you know, all the proceeds go to them. I also was a legislative ambassador for the American Cancer Society and went and lobbied in Washington, which, who knew? What an amazing experience that you actually feel like your voice counts. Whether it does or doesn't, I'm just saying, I have no political views on that. I'm just saying that in those moments, like it was, I felt really powerful and empowered.
Yes. I'm so impressed by you, Consuelo. I mean, because look
at this. They're so sweet.
I'm impressed because most recording artists are not, you know, they're not so deep in so many different ways. And I guess it just goes back to your heritage and seeing specifically what you're looking at in other ways. And then when we talked about the whole brand and stuff, you also have a lifestyle apparel. Tell us a little about that as well.
Well, you know, and this being inspired by my great-grandmother and coming out with a collection homage, Revel Heiress, we are definitely looking as a lifestyle brand for hair care, for perfume. I just actually recently became the philanthropic ambassador for Mercedes-Benz, which I'm just so honored, and get to learn more about perfume and you know, really understanding what my style is and just being presented with wonderful opportunities and supporting things that I think are really important, you know, and I think just going back to what you were saying about musicians, we're in such a funny time right now where you really need to be a pioneer of your own business. You don't get the right anymore to just say, yes, I'm a musician, yes, I'm a recording artist, yes, I'm an actress. Like, you have got to be the master behind your own business. And whether that's creating webisodes as an actor and writing your own material, to being a musician and really putting yourself out there and owning your own label and owning your own masters, I've had that wonderful luxury, and I've owned my own label for the last 2.5 years, and my singles are out on that, and I'm so proud, and I have, you know, a lot of my material. I would love to open the doors now to actually bringing other artists into my label, but I wanted to make sure that I could do it on my own, that I could be a real proven success in my own right, to then be able to say to other artists, look, this is my path, this is what I did, and I would love to be able to invite you in. I didn't want to be that person to just say, oh yeah, let me start bringing in artists without having my own track record, you know?
Okay. Now, can you introduce the new single that's coming out very, very soon? And we're going to be the first to air this. Tell us.
So excited and honored to be on your show and to be able to share with your listeners my new single. It's called Body Needs. It's perfect for the summer. I hope you guys enjoy it. All for you. Mwah. You know my body needs. You know my body needs.
Consuelo, thank you so much for sharing this song. I mean, for our listeners out there all over the world to get to hear this first, what an honor. And I'm sure June 26th, you're so pumped up for this, aren't you?
I can't tell you. I am honored to be on your show and to have you guys be the first to listen to the single. And yes, I am so excited to have the song come out. June 26th, it's Body Needs.
All right. Well, fantastic. So where can we find information on you and learn more about you?
If you go to my fan page on Facebook under Consuelo Costin, or on my Twitter, Consuelo Costin. I'm also on Instagram, and my website is costinmusic.com. And then you'll hear about tour dates and this next single and kind of behind the scenes and my album coming out in August and September. But I'm so excited to be with you guys. You're the first.
All right. Well, fantastic. Take care. And we'll have you back in a couple months to give us an update, okay?
It's so wonderful. Thank you so, so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care now. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. You're listening to Total Celebrity Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.